The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Stick Boy and the One Fall Podcast on We Talk Podcast. Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, it was an up and down weekend for the WWE, but ultimately, as we come to Monday and we head into the final day into Phoenix, they stuck the landing, for the most part so far.
I'd say that it's not. You remember that that video sensation of that the one gymnastic lady doing the floor dance?
Yeah.
And it got a lot of traction. I wouldn't say WWE got there. They had a few flubs, but for the most part, it was, you know, I'd give it probably like a 6 or 7 out of 10. It's over 50% good.
It is. So let's kind of just go back in time, and then we'll get to today, and we'll get to the news and notes. Let's start with NXT. From this past Saturday, just an overall thought of the show, what was good, what was bad. I know there's been some people that weren't overly content with this NXT, and I guess that's hard because there's just a certain standard of NXTs. I think it did perfectly fine. I think it lived up to the standard of being a quality show. It just felt in some of the matches that some things were just off, specifically in the women's match and the championship match.
Yeah, like I thought it was a decent to good show. Like I didn't hate it. I thought Johnny and Ricochet absolutely delivered a match of the year candidate. They knocked it out of the park. As for the two other matches you mentioned, I felt there was a little bit more to be desired. It very much felt like a show that was something was lacking within this show. I don't know if it was one performer or just the way things have been built over the last little bit. But I think all in all, I thought it was a good show, but I think that there could definitely be room for improvement. I'd like to see more from Riddle. We know how talented and unique of a star Matt Riddle is. I hope with him beating Cassius Ohno that he moves on to other things, because I think he is absolutely a tremendous talent that you need to use as much as you possibly can and really elevate. The tag team match was good. Like the Revival talks about wanting good tag team wrestling, and then you look at NXT and you go, oh, there's good tag team wrestling.
Yep, that was really the tag team match was really well done. Obviously, Johnny and Ricochet is a candidate right up there with Tanahashi and Omega for match of the year. I should note too, we have a possible match of the year candidate going on tonight as we record this with Tanahashi and Kushida. That should be a really entertaining match, which we'll talk about that show near the end. But I thought that match was tremendous. I don't know what it was in the black and Ciampa match, but something seemed really off. And for the women's match, just a combination. I found it a very interesting match, the women's match. You definitely have seen the improvement in Shayna Baszler. She has grown leaps and bounds since we saw her last takeover. She's getting better and better, and I'm very impressed with Shayna Baszler. Bianca Belair, I think she's a really interesting and strong talent within the company, but at times I think she sells very well and she played the underdog well, but at times she did seem overwhelmed by the moment.
Yeah, I definitely think that there was that feeling of I think they put her in a place a little bit too soon. But I mean, here's the thing. You got to throw people into that situation to see what you've got. And at this point, you saw what you got from her. So now it's time to go, OK, this is what we've got. Let's build up a few things with her and get her up to that next level.
Yeah, exactly. Do you see a rematch for Belair, or do you think they're going to move on to somebody else in that women's division?
I think it'll probably be someone else in that women's division, but you can easily keep building Belair up to eventually get that title.
I would agree with you on that. I mean, we'll get to how many women talented performers there are in that. So that was really weird. And the Ciampa and Black match, you know, like, look, I don't think it was a bad match by any means, but you and I said the pace seemed a little off, and they just didn't gel maybe the way we all thought they would be, especially even compared to the NXT match they had back, I believe it was in July when the title changed hands. I don't know what it was. It was a good match, but it just seemed off.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they go next and see what who they put up in front of Baszler, but it just you can't quite put your finger on it of what was up with that match, but it just felt off.
And then the most important thing I really guess that going forward about this all is they set up this big brawl afterwards, and we are getting the return of Halftime Heat.
Yeah.
20 years later. It took Jeff Jarrett coming back to the company to get Halftime Heat.
Yeah, no kidding. I think this is a tremendous, tremendously smart move for the WWE. Regardless of what you think of the NFL and the halftime show, it's just a smart thing to cash in on. It's on the network. You're not hurting anyone by if the numbers aren't exactly great.
It's not just on the new network, Joel. It's also on Twitter, which a lot of people are going to be on during the halftime show. And it's also on YouTube. So you don't have to have the WWE network to watch this.
That's really smart. That is a very, very smart move. It's just one of those things where you look at and you go, oh, this makes tremendous sense. Like this is one of the biggest buzzworthy days just based on movie trailers, just for sports and just everything on there. I'm sure that a lot of people will either watch the halftime show or go off and do other things when it hits halftime. I don't think that the WWE is going to have an incredible increase in numbers through this, but I think that this is a smart move and showcasing some very, very, very good talent.
I think it's a smart move, and I think the good thing is, too, it's like, look, I think you can still go and enjoy the halftime show. I'm going to. I'm excited to see Travis Scott and Big Boy, but I'm still excited afterwards that's done to go check out that match afterwards. Just because it's during halftime doesn't mean you exactly have to see it during halftime. But I think the platforms they've put it on are very good and interactive. If you're not interested in Maroon 5 or Travis Scott or Big Boy, that you have the ability to be like, I want to see this or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting that they did that. Let's talk about Sunday. It was an interesting show, some interesting booking decisions. Before we get to the two Rumbles themselves, let's just kind of just talk about the matches. As a whole, let's talk about the pre-show matches. So Nakamura retains, and then Rusev had some...
He got it back.
And then Rusev had some fun on Twitter trolling people. So that was entertaining for his sake, I guess, at least. What did you think about Nakamura getting the title back?
His contract's up, and you kind of want to entice him to stick around. I'm interested to see who Nak feuds with.
I think it's all... He threw him out of the Rumble.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to go. And I think if Ali can win the title at Mania, that'd be a really good moment for him. He lost last WrestleMania, so.
Another chance is a charm for him. I thought that, you know, it kind of seems like Rusev Day had kind of hit the stalls ever since they got rid of Aiden English. It was kind of a poor decision to make by them. And now Aiden's doing his thing on 205, which we'll get to in a second. But what do you think about everything that's going on with Rusev and Lana and the booking and Rusev Day? It just all kind of just seemed too late.
It's just like the Del Rio situation. You miss something, and then now you've got to wait till the next wave happens. I don't know if Rusev will ever get as hot as he did with Rusev Day. The company didn't get behind it at the right time. It just never hit. For all we know, Rusev could pick back up suddenly and be on a massive tear. But I think that I think Rusev will always be kind of middle of the road for them, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think they didn't hit the iron hot. We've seen it with Braun Strowman. When you have this period of time when someone's white hot, which we will get to in a little bit here. When someone is white hot and everyone's behind it and they want it, and you have to hit when the iron is hot to really try to benefit off of that. And if you don't, then when you do it, it's hard to recapture that. And that's what we're kind of finding right now with Braun Strowman. That's what we're kind of finding with Rusev. Also on the pre-show, we had the Cruiserweights. They gave a lot of shine to Hideo Itami, only to get him pinned. And Buddy Murphy did some more of the Kenny Omega greatest hits. I thought Tozawa was great. Kalisto had some good spots. It was a really underratedly good match on the on the pre-show by the Cruiserweights.
And Hideo Itami has since changed his Twitter back to Kenta. So getting us all worked up for a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. So that match is really, I'm really, really, really interested to see where they go as far as 205 for the Mania match. Maybe I was hoping and thinking it was going to be Hideo Itami versus Buddy, but with the clean pin on Hideo, I'm not so sure. But we'll see where 205 goes. Though that, then we get to the main show. Shane and Miz win the tag titles. I don't think anything too serious at that point. When do you see the inevitable turn, Joel? Do you see it at Elimination Chamber or Fastlane?
Fastlane.
Right. I think that's kind of the most predictable turn that we've seen in quite some time. As far as the title matches, Becky and Asuka put on one heck of a show. My only gripe with that match, with knowing what was going to come later, I wouldn't have had Becky tap. I would have had Becky pass out.
Yeah, well, if she passed out, then you would almost have ruled her out if she passed out, because then be like, oh, she passed out. Mm-hmm. We don't know what medic is going to be. This way, with a tap out, it's a clean win for Asuka, which helps Asuka out tremendously. And as we saw tonight on Raw, it tap out, everyone's already forgotten about the tap out. So
no, for sure. I just thought it would have helped build up. It doesn't hurt Becky as much. Obviously, it didn't hurt it in the long term, but just booking 101, you make her pass out, that increases Asuka even more, that she knocked her out and whatnot. But it is what it is. It didn't really end up mattering in the long term.
I think her tapping out is big, because then that really shows that the Asuka lock is a deadly move when it's locked in. And ultimately, depending on what Ronda's future is, and regardless, that could be a feud for Becky in 6-7 months from now.
Yeah, I think that's probably the idea.
And I think that's you've laid the seeds for Becky's next program, which they haven't done a lot of in the recent history of WWE. So to have that, laying those seeds for potential feud down the line, is a smart move by them.
Next for the women also, we had Sasha and Ronda. I thought that this was a tremendous match. It was one of Sasha's best in a long time. They pushed each other to the limits in it. I really, really liked it. I liked everything Sasha did afterwards. I liked that Sasha wasn't really used on Raw tonight also. I think it continues to build up Sasha. They've done a nice job of rebuilding back up Sasha. The women's division continues to shine. And I just thought it was a good match overall. Maybe one of Ronda's best singles match to date.
I don't know. I thought the match was all right. I think that there were some sloppy moments. I thought there were a few times where you could definitely see that this wasn't rehearsed back before the match. And I think that kind of showed some holes in...
I think the intensity in this is what I liked. And I think that's why I like Finn and Brock as well. There was an intensity to this match.
I don't know if there was a lot of intensity to this match. There was some, but I just didn't feel like it didn't feel like it quite jumped out and grabbed me by the throat. Like one of the segments that we'll talk about in a little bit here. I thought Sasha looked good. I thought the ending was dragged out way too long, and it had no real payoff
I agree with that. There was a few times in that where they dragged things off too long that ended up coming to a 7-hour show.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest detriment to this show, was it was 7 hours when you could have easily shaved off an hour or even an hour and a half.
Shane should have been in the pre-show. I know it's Shane McMahon, but that should have been in the pre-show.
Yeah, there were ways that you could have easily done this to save some time. I thought there were too many matches on this.
Yeah, you didn't need to have Dawson and Rezar versus Bobby and Chad Gable.
No, you didn't. Back to this, Ronda has now gone through and faced 3 out of 4 horsewomen wrestling wise. Okay,
we'll get to the other point, the other one in a second here. So that I thought that match was pretty good. I thought the women shined. We'll get to the Rumble part. On the other side for the men, poor AJ and poor Brian. It was a good match, but it never stood a chance from the place they were put in.
No,
and
no,
it showed it you like sometimes it doesn't matter if you have two of the greatest wrestlers of all time. If you have a long show and a tired crowd, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it doesn't matter if the crowd is tired there. Your audience overall is gassed. You were all just kind of sitting there and being like, okay, I'm kind of tired from all this. I'm kind of ready for this show to be done. And you haven't even gotten, you still have three big matchups left after this. And it's like, oh, I got to get up for all of this. I thought overall this was a good match. I did not like the, well, I can't say I did not like the ending because I don't know how long term this is going to play out. It's a very thinner. Weird. It was a very weird ending. I think Brian's been one of the hottest acts in wrestling. One of. We'll get to the other hottest act in wrestling. They're both on SmackDown, which is quite funny. Well, one used to be on SmackDown. I don't know. It's one of those things where they were put in the position of death, and it absolutely died a slow death. And in that instance, it almost benefit to just kind of have the match be done sooner rather than later. I don't know. I don't even think Gargano and Ricochet could have got this crowd back up after going through one rumble.
No, I don't think so. I think it was a terrible. The thing is, if you knew the position you were going to take with Eric Rowan and you know what the time is, just do the Eric Rowan finish then within 5 minutes of the match. We know we're probably going to get AJ Bryan rematched Elimination Chamber. So let's just do the Rowan spot that we're going to do, shave those 20 minutes off, and save everybody.
Yeah.
That would have been my call, personally. If they were just going to have this clean finish or whatever, sure, whatever. But if you know you're going to do what you're going to do with Rowan, then just do the finish 2 minutes, 3 minutes in. It hits more impact that way, in my opinion.
I don't know how you handle this. I think overall this is just a sign of WWE poorly planning things out, and it just like we saw their time management for the end of Raw tonight, where again it was up to the wire and they had a hard out. I think the WWE. They need to reconsider these 7 hour shows because I don't think people want to sit through a 7 hour show. They're boring at different points.
Sorry to interrupt there, but it even sucked the energy out of the room of where we were watching it with the crowd that we had.
Yeah, it did not click, and it just is a sign of you gotta think about just everyone and being like, well, you don't. NXT is a perfect example. They don't. By the time that show was done, I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm still good. I still go do other things. I'm still got energy to burn." This is just the show of death.
Yeah, it was a bad spot to be in. They're gonna get a rematch. Where do you think? Since we're not gonna get a chance to talk to Brian, and we can kind of have a little SmackDown preview here, I guess we can both. Do you agree we're gonna get AJ and him again at Elimination Chamber? First of all.
I don't know what they're doing. They may have a number one contenders in the Elimination
Chamber.
Yeah,
maybe that's what they do.
I'm not entirely sure where they're all going to go. They really like AJ and Bryan, so I wonder if that's the match at Mania.
I wonder if that is. Do you think that this is the reverse Wyatt family?
I'm interested to see, because if Luke Harper pops back up and reportedly Bray is almost close to being able to return to the ring.
He's been in house shows.
I don't know. According to Bray Wyatt's Twitter, he's getting close to being good to go. So
weird. He's apparently, like Meltzer was saying, he's been wrestling at house shows.
I don't know, man. I honestly don't know. The absence of Bray Wyatt is very weird. And I wouldn't bring Bray into the fold for this. But Brian having a heel stable around him could be a lot of fun.
I guess the bludgeons have just been dropped.
Yeah, it's all about the environment.
That means Eric Rowan has now had three different gimmicks in a year now. He was like Wyatt family for like a second last year, then bludgeons, and now back to the Vintner again?
I guess so.
Stealing Bella Wine? Probably is happening.
But I think the one thing with all this is I guess it makes sense. Brian's a little guy, so you want him to really show the that it's gonna take someone to really get at Brian and really get their hands on him. So I'm gonna enjoy that portion of it. I'm interested to see where this all goes. I hope that this doesn't hurt the Brian gimmick, because I've really enjoyed his environmentalist gimmick.
They were saying the Chase Field a tribute to the Brian promo to help him with the Royal Rumble burger, because it ended up getting sold out last night.
There you go,
Brian. And they attribute that to the Brian promo for adding to people like knowing about it.
That's why you gotta let Brian keep that title until Mania.
We will update on what they're gonna have in New York, because New York now for MetLife, they have to have something special so Brian can go at it. But so we'll see what happens with AJ and Brian. Brock and Finn, I really liked everything that was done with this match. I thought the timing of it was perfect. I thought the story of it was perfect. I mean, I didn't like the aftermatch as much, but I really liked the actual match itself. I thought it was booked perfectly.
I thought this was a great, great showing for Finn. It really made Finn look like $1 million. The only reason that the post-match didn't work is that Finn's never going to get his revenge.
Yeah. That's the problem. He does everything he can, and then Brock barely has to go to the Kimura as desperation, right? So you can just go with that and whatever. But then in the end, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. But maybe because what we saw with Seth, which we'll get to, it's this new aggressive take no prisoners Brock Lesnar. So with this new aggressive Brock Lesnar, I wonder if that's the idea. I mean, we saw today on Raw, and again, I keep on talking about Raw because we're, you know, seeing everything that happened with this, and we'll get to that. But I think the ending with the Finn, even though I didn't like it, had a little bit to do with that. But overall, I thought the booking was great. I really liked the story they told with the diverticulitis. I thought that was a really good thing to go to. That, I don't know how you word it, but just throwing him into the edge of the table and the cell job Brock did on that. You and I were both kind of looking at it during that spot. I'd be like, that's just, number one, there's so much that can go wrong with that spot, especially with someone that's had stomach problems in the past like Brock did. But they use that really well, and it works very well with a move like the coup de grace. I just thought the intensity and the storytelling in this match was done really well, and Brock is now 3 for 3 when he's in there with really good wrestlers.
Yep. There was one point where I'm like, I think Brock's legit hurt. And I think there were points where post-match where I'm like, I think Brock's probably definitely feeling it. Whether he was legit hurt, I don't know. But you even saw tonight, he seemed to be moving pretty good with what he did to Seth. So
yeah, that's a tough bump to take, because those ends of the tables are sharp.
Yeah, so, that's...
And he got thrown into it twice.
Man, Brock, for all the flack Brock takes, and even in that 24, the beginning clip, you see him throw the title at Vince.
Yeah.
You, as much as this guy has appeared to be just in it for the money, I don't think he'd be doing it at this age, at this time, if he didn't really care about it. And I don't think you could get away with not caring about professional wrestling and being really close with The Undertaker. Like, I think Undertaker is such revered and respected. I don't think Brock would, Taker would look at him if he didn't at least have respect and understanding for the business. So I think Brock understands and respects the business and is willing to do good business. You see it with how much he did for Finn. Finn is probably the closest little guy to beating him. Brian didn't come really close.
It's right off the beginning, which is, we've never seen that in a long time from a smaller wrestler from Brock. Even against Goldberg, a Roman, Cena, you don't really see the offense out the burst against Brock, which was so surprising to see Finn get the upper hand off the start of the match.
Yeah, it didn't. It's different than all the other small man matches that Brock's had, where they didn't build a comeback for this guy. It was right off the hop, and Brock honestly got lucky.
He did. So I thought that was really well done, and I just gotta say too, I really think Brock just adds a different element to the product right now. I know there's some people disappointed that he doesn't get to defend his title every single pay-per-view or on Raw or whatever, but there is still something special about Brock Lesnar, and it's something important about Brock Lesnar that he still adds. And watching that match against Finn, it's the reason why he does deserve the money he makes, because everything with Brock, and we're seeing it with Ronda as well, it just feels bigger.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And, you know, you've mentioned this in a pod, and I'll mention it again too. Like, saying Brock isn't a good wrestler or he's a waste of money, I just think you don't know the business very well, because Brock, as he's shown in these last few matches, now with Bryan and now with Finn, Brock is a hell of a worker. He knows exactly what he's doing in every sense of the matter. He is an important factor in the WWE. He makes every match bigger, makes every match better. You want to see him get beat, which makes the best heel of all time. If Finn would have beat him, he would have been made. If Finn became the, like, personally, and we'll get to the decision that was made, but I would have loved to have seen a rematch at Mania. This time Finn is the Demon, and then the Demon beats Brock. And how much that win would mean for the Demon to get it. All of a sudden, the Demon has this much more over him of how powerful the Demon is. He beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, where he ended the Undertaker streak. That would have been absolutely huge. I would have loved that. But nonetheless, I think they've done a good job with everything with Brock building up to this, and I'm fine with him having the title on him.
Yeah, because, I mean, when Brock does pass the torch on, or pass the moment on to someone else, which I'm thinking I have an idea who it is, it'll be a big moment.
It will. Let's get to the Rumbles. Let's start with the Women's Rumble. This was some very poor working in here, looking at you, Lacey Evans. They tried to put her with Natty, and it didn't work. And it's very interesting that not even a mention of Lacey Evans on Raw tonight, Joel.
Yeah, she suddenly disappeared, which is very weird. Maybe she'll be mentioned on SmackDown. Maybe. Especially
but considering... she looked bad.
Yeah, there were different points that did not look good. I mean, that's why, again, we keep forgetting NXT is developmental.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why certain people are down there, and it's to grow and learn and get better. And I think foregoing NXT at times works for some people. I don't think it works for others. And I think Lacey Evans needed more time.
She really did. She wasn't very well. The Maria and Fox segment didn't work out as well as I would have liked to, but it was fun to see Maria in there. I thought they did such a good job with the NXT talent in here, though, giving them all a chance to shine. Everyone that came in this match stood out in a way. And I think everyone got a major spot you can remember, I guess, aside from maybe Candice. But Candice looked good. It just sucked that the more of the mainstream audience at the Rumble didn't really know Candice yet. But I think they obviously still will. And if Candice comes next year, I think it'll be a much bigger deal. I thought the big standouts were Kairi Sane looked unbelievable in that match.
Yeah, she had a great moment with Charlotte, and Io Shirai had a really great moment, and you got to see the moonsault again. So
yeah, and there's a rumor they might be a tag in the Elimination Chamber.
I could see it, because there were rumors that they wanted to have the women's tag team titles bouncing between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT.
Really? Yeah, so I would like to see them. Casey Catanzaro, who's still very green... but she had some very, very fun spots in that match. I think she stole the show between Naomi and Kofi Kingston for the keeping in of the night. Former American Ninja Warrior. We know she's dating Ricochet right now. And obviously you can tell those two are definitely working on different set of crazy moves between each other. She really impressed me. And obviously she's still got a long way to go. You know, they for some reason paired her with Foxy at one point, which I wasn't really sure what that was about. But you can tell there's talent there, and she already has a little bit of a charisma to her as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some showmanship. Well, if anyone has seen American Ninja Warrior, there has to be a little bit of showmanship, just purely from the to draw people's attention in, and just the things that she was able to do. Her escaping elimination was incredible, and it goes to show when you're incredibly talented, you will find a way to make it. I think she's absolutely on her way of making it. I didn't know how small she was.
No.
Her next to Rhea Ripley, who had a really good showing
as well. She did too. Rhea Ripley will be in a WrestleMania main event in the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah. She has the look. She has the in-ring ability. Everything you want from a woman's wrestler, she has it.
In fact, I'm going to predict this right now. I could see Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch at a Mania in the next 2 years. Just because even tonight during Raw, she started a Twitter feud with Mick Foley.
Yeah.
She has some very good skills. She has a very good look to her. And I'm very interested to see that dynamic between her and Becky. I am very impressed by Rhea Ripley. I had a little bit of chances here on the UK show, but I thought she really stood out in this Rumble.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing with this Rumble. There weren't a lot of surprises for the women, but it helped establish some NXT women, and you're like, oh crap, I want to pay more attention to them. And especially if the rumors that you told me are true of them really wanting to push NXT as the third brand.
Yeah.
Then you suddenly have you've suddenly established a bunch of people on that third brand that people will be drawn to.
I thought it was a better use than last year of the legends. I thought maybe you could have had one legend in there, but the one legend everyone wants to see is Victoria, and we don't know what's going on with that fully. I thought the use of the NXT girls was really well done. And I also thought it was really well done that you just got the build off of them, and these aren't established names on TV. You know, this isn't the Shayna Baszlers. It's not the Bianca Belairs. It's not even like an Aaliyah. It's people that you don't really know yet that have been working at the Performance Center. They got the build up. I would have liked to see the Chelsea Green, for example, even. But maybe that's just a level below where it's too under the radar. Even the Chinese superstar they used, I had never heard of her outside. I think she was in the Mae Young. I was thoroughly impressed by her. So it gets you to think, like, right now we're in the Shayna Baszler era, but the future of the NXT women's division is super bright. There's a lot of talented women there. I think it's going to be led and should be led by Candice LeRae because, well, I said Candice LeRae didn't have the spot. She comes in the ring and she has an infectious ability that you want to root for her.
Yeah. She can be absolutely built as a babyface unless she is going to be part of heel DIY, which this is entirely true. Possible.
Also in that Women's Rumble, you definitely got a sense of the new era of women's wrestling compared to the old era and how lucky we are to be in this era. No, I guess it is offense no matter what, but you see Maria, you see Fox, they're part of that old era, and then you see someone like Rhea Ripley and Kairi Sane is like, wow, how far have we came?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think Maria is very good at being a sports entertainer, and she had some fun sports entertainment spots in that match, but as far as the wrestling, it was far better than last year having Kelly Kelly or Tori Wilson in there with the talented women that we have. Io Shirai is maybe not even the best women's wrestler in the world. She may be one of the best overall period wrestlers in the world. And I'm really excited for Io Shirai to get an even bigger platform going forward.
Oh, yeah.
And Kairi Sane was what, named the overall best performer in NXT?
I believe so. I believe she got it, and she seemed genuinely shocked. And that is
over.
She is so innocent. Do not mess with her.
So the future of that is bright. But yeah, there were some sloppy spots booked there. And then it looked for a second, for a wee bit of a second there, that we were going to get a repeat of the 2012 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, they weren't going to
give us... Was it 14 or 12? 14.
Yeah, it was 14.
Yeah,
no,
it
was 15.
When did Punk leave? When did Punk leave? Punk did leave in 15. 14.
No, 15 is when... Oh, yeah, 14, Brian. Brian,
yeah, because that was Punk's last Rumble.
Yeah, that's how we marked that Rumble.
Mm-hmm. So it looked like it was going to be that. The crowd is chanting Becky. It's like, okay, I guess they're going to do it again. And then she comes in for Lana, and she just happens to find the only Irish person there. And Finlay lets her back in the Rumble. And I thought from there on... Really well done by everything. I didn't really like the selling as much of the leg injury, but I'm almost wondering if that was somewhat legit now.
Yeah, that one, the knee brace, I don't think she's half Austin now.
Yeah.
She just needs one more knee brace and she's full Austin.
Yeah, I obviously we're doing this late after Raw, this podcast, so I'm interested to see what the update will be as far as the status of Becky, if that is a legit injury or if that's a kayfabe injury. We're still waiting the word on that, but that place went banana after she won. We all kind of thought maybe there'd be some like Luger Brett finish with her and Charlotte, but just right choice to have her win. Good job. We'll see where this goes with Flair. But for now, Becky won the Rumble and it was the right call.
Yes, absolutely. 100% the right call.
And we will get into why that was the right call in a little bit here. The Men's Rumble. I thought the women's was the better of the two Rumbles, in my opinion. I really didn't enjoy this men's Rumble that much. I thought some of the call-ups, some of the entrances were really fun. Like, I thought the Jeff Jarrett one especially where we were at, a huge Jeff Jarrett fan where we were at. I thought Johnny was an excellent call-up. I thought having Black there was great. But No Way Jose was not great. And Hawkins was also a waste. And the Titus O'Neil one was also kind of a waste. And the Ziggler one was just annoying.
Yeah, this Rumble, it didn't, because there was a desire for Becky to win. I don't know if there was any desire for anyone really to win that.
I think people wanted a good surprise in that. I think that's what people really wanted in that, is what I'm hearing more and more. We just wanted a really big legend surprise.
Yeah, and clearly didn't happen this year. I have no problems with Seth winning.
No, I think that's the right call. I think that was the right call. I think the Final Four was wrong. I don't understand why McIntyre wasn't in the Final Four. I don't understand the booking with McIntyre now. It seems to be going in a very weird, not good idea of a way.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's almost like we want to test McIntyre. Throw some.
This is what happens, man. You go all the way up, and now I got to test you out. We've seen it with Shelton in the past, when Shelton was going highs of highs. We had to test him out. We've seen it with plenty of guys, and now it seems like Drew's going through that.
Yeah, got to test you out, see your worth.
Which I don't like that. And I think if that Final Four had Drew McIntyre, it would have been more reasonable to be like, okay, Drew's in this Final Four. Dolph in the Final Four, no one believed for a second Dolph was winning the Rumble.
No.
And I mean, he did this interview on Saturday saying he's done with the company and yada, yada, yada. Nobody believed it. This is the second year in a row they've done this, by the way, with Ziggler. You remember last year's when he dropped the U.S. title and quit, quote unquote. So I think we're just all kind of sick of Dolph Ziggler in these areas, especially when you're waiting for Velveteen Dream or Ricochet to come out, for example, or someone else from NXT that's a big name or a legend. And then you have Ziggler come out. It's a pretty big letdown. And then...
I don't know, because I think there were a fair number of people that felt like Ziggler was done with the company, because it was reported that they didn't want him to wrestle anymore and become a producer.
Yeah.
And more it seemed like Ziggler was done with the company.
Did we care, though? Did we care?
And I was like, oh, well, nah. It was a non-issue. I don't think it was the right call to have him in the Final Four, but I think that you look at the overall thing and you're like, Seth won. That's all that matters.
Except for R-Truth. So we were talking all week, who's going to attack R-Truth? We all knew it was inevitable that R-Truth is going to get attacked. Who will attack him? Will The Rock return? Will Kenny Omega breach his contract and get him? Will Ciampa come and attack him? Nia Jax did.
Well, here's the thing with the Nia Jax. Some 24 to 26 hours later, the buzz online is, there's a mix with it. But I'm
it seems
seeing,
more positive, to be honest.
Well, it's not, it's positive not because of Nia Jax, but it's positive because of the people that believe in and support intergender wrestling.
Yes.
I think that is the big thing with this. I do not think that WWE will ever go all the way, because I saw some backlash. I saw some people going, you can't promote that. That's terrible. That's not believable at all.
Candice LeRae is hoping so much this is true. This is a thing that happens.
She's the same one that took a super kick from the box with thumbtacks. So
yeah,
Candice is a tough cookie. I mean that is a thing with all this. I have no issue with intergender wrestling. I don't either. I think if done right, it would work. But my thing is rewarding Nia Jax of all people to be in that spot.
Yeah, that's my thing, is the Becky thing ended up working out for everybody in the long term. No doubt about it. That made Becky a bigger star. But stuff with Charlotte. Alexa Bliss hasn't wrestled for 5 months because of Nia Jax.
Yeah, there's a long list of injuries that come from that. And I don't think Nia's that great of a performer. I think she's all right.
Versus Ronda. That's about it.
Yeah, nothing else has quite clicked the way you'd want. And I don't know. I think you could have given that spot to someone else. But ultimately now, I wonder if this is WWE testing for intergender wrestling and seeing if that's something that they're going to move forward with at some point, because it'll be interesting to see, because we saw interaction between Rock and Becky Lynch on Twitter just before the Rumble kicked off, where Rocky's like, yeah, let's do a match between you and me, and we'll we can sell out Mania, we'll do another match, but I only agree to do it if I lose. So, I mean, and that created a little bit of buzz. There was some interest in that. So, I don't know. I didn't like how it was done and who it was used for, but I think that that could be a sign of something that could come down the line, and that could make for very interesting storylines. And I will say, Randy Orton seemed to quite enjoy himself hitting Nia with an RKO.
I did like how they had the men kind of be like, should we? Should we? Should we? Okay, let's do it. And they even Zig Ziglar with the Ziggler now has super kicked both Karma and Nia Jax in the Royal Rumble.
The best feather in anyone's cap.
Which I wish the theme with Kia Stevens would have worked out a lot more, because I would have preferred her in that spot.
Yeah.
Because I think she is an actual good wrestler that's a veteran, and now she's just turned out to be a really good actress. But I would have liked to have seen her in that spot. I think she could have held her own. I don't know what the future for Nia is. They teased something with her and Ambrose a little bit on Raw tonight. I don't know if she's going to have this intergender match at Mania, because I don't see her in either of the picture of the title matches. I don't see her winning the tag title match at all. I don't know where Nia's place is at WrestleMania, but there is obviously a pecking order for the women, and Nia is in a top four or three spot to them.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I would not be shocked if Nia Jax wrestles a man at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe that's going to be a thing that happens. So that happens. And then, like we said, Seth Rollins wins the Rumble. I think it was the right choice. It made the, and how it played out tonight on Raw it really worked out.
It was the first time someone in Bears colors did well.
Since 85.
Yeah.
Yeah, since 85 from Walter Payton. And then, yeah, no double doink. They should have made a joke about that. They had no double doink. And then tonight on Monday Night Raw, let's get rid of the fodder. Then we'll get rid of the big points really quick here. This is a actually very fun show on Monday Night Raw tonight. Let's talk about the fun. Let's talk about the weird. And let's talk about the great. The fun. Jeff Jarrett, Elias segment. These two just click. The chemistry just works. We now know that Jeff Jarrett is working with the WWE again. He is going to be a producer, and he also will be on air. The question is, can they build him and Elias all the way to Mania? I don't know, but Jeff Jarrett is now a WWE employee. Who would have thought? And 20 years later, he's back on Raw.
Yeah, yeah. And Slapnuts was said.
Slapnuts was said. He never said that when he was there. So a little bit of everything. WCW character with that. I hope, if he does wrestle again, he doesn't wear the 94 attire. Go back to the TNA attire.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good look. I would have preferred just the booty shorts that he wore, or whatever, the booty shorts, booty trunks.
I did like the hat, though.
Hat was good. I thought the hat was good. Just the attire didn't work. And then getting Road Dogg was a nice little fun treat.
Yeah. We got the roadie.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I know people are talking about flip-flop. Putting Elias back to heel is the smartest decision. He was not a good face.
I thought he was all right as a face, but losing to Corbin twice definitely killed any momentum that he had.
Yeah, so I thought that was a fun segment. We'll see where that goes. I'm happy to have Double J back. Also, since we're hitting on this, and we're going to end probably with the biggest segment of the week, Shane Helms has also been hired back by the WWE, and he also will be a producer backstage.
Yeah, smart move. You got to get these guys in there to help help the talent out.
And we talked about Abyss and Sean J. Dutt. They will also be working backstage, but also in a creative platform for NXT.
That'll make it fun.
So I don't, as much as we want to see Abyss on TV, I don't know if we're going to ever get that. Maybe.
That's okay.
You never say never in wrestling, as we saw with Jeff Jarrett tonight.
No kidding.
I think the only one I ever will say never to is CM Punk in WWE.
Yeah, that one's I think that one's a shoe-in for never happening.
That's the one time I will say never, but Jeff Jarrett, we had Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle on Monday Night Raw in 2019. I would have never believed that 10 years ago.
Crazy things seem to happen.
Speaking about Kurt Angle, I don't understand the booking of him, but it has to be leading to something bigger.
I think this is a good spot for Kurt, because Kurt will never be... I don't think Kurt could run at the level he'd want to be at a main event or big match situation. You look at how Kurt moved in the Rumble. They're obviously very protective of Kurt, because Kurt doesn't do long matches or does anything crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that at a certain point, with Kurt's history and Kurt's health and everything with that, I think he's going to obviously do this run. But I think after this run is done and whatever how it ends, I just don't think...
One more big Mania match?
I don't know if Kurt can physically do another big Mania match.
Maybe it's Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle.
Feud for Karen Jarrett?
Yeah, feud to see who works in WWE and has to go back to Impact.
Oh, God.
Oh, and by the way, the last thing on Jarrett, he owns the rights to the TNA logos and footage. So this is why we've been seeing the footage lately, is because Jarrett owns the rights to that.
Oh, boy. I still maintain, I think, well... I don't know. It's another spot for people to work. So keep Impact going.
I mean, a lot of people were excited for that Scarlett Bordeaux premiere in two weeks.
Yeah.
That's something. Other than that, we also... What else do we have? Well, the Revival won a match, which is weird. But apparently they won. The whole Take title scene is going to be put around them. And they're building up Take Champions. Any other segments before we get to the two big ones, Joel?
Oh, someone facing reality and talking to the man in the mirror.
Yeah, Mojo Riley with an actual really intriguing and good segment.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes, because obviously he's not hyped anymore. But he's
he changed his name on social media too.
So I think Mojo is dead. I'm interested to see what he becomes, and he seems to have a decent grasp on performing via the mic and in front of a camera like that. So, I mean, if this works well for us, then hey, all the more power to him.
I'd prefer it over Corbin, man. I'll take it over Corbin. And again, the Drew stuff. I don't really know what they're doing with Drew McIntyre. It just, or Strowman, they both just seem cold.
Yeah, which is really weird, because you showed the footage of him murdering Angle, and then it just, once he got near Corbin, he cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone near Corbin seems to cool off, and Braun Strowman is the perfect example of just constantly teasing him getting the title, and the heel turn with him just sucked the wind out of anyone's sails, and it's just put Strowman on ice.
Probably the biggest waste of money in the bank ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even like Sandow's was like a nice Raw match, but Strowman's was not. It was just a really bad
use. I think it was better than Corbin's.
Corbin's was bad too. There's been some bad ones. There's been back-to-back bad male ones.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they go next.
We're almost getting to the point where we've almost seen more failed cash-ins than cash-ins now.
Yeah, actual successful cash-ins seem to be rare now.
The women are 2-for-2 so far.
Yes, they are. With Bliss and
Carmella. So we'll see what happens this year for that. Let's get to the best segments. First, let's finish with Seth. We'll talk about Seth and Brock. We were teasing all night. Will it be Brian? Will it be Brock? Brock comes out, and then he just destroys Seth. And really well done segment. You already know these two are going to have a good match, but and like I talked about with Finn, I like this aggressive, I will kill you, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, because when Seth finally dethroned, unless we're going with another Brock, just kill someone until...
Can't rule it out. Can't rule it out.
No, you can't. And that's the scary thing about
this. Will not be the main event of WrestleMania, though.
No, this will not be. No. You would have to be a fool to not know what your main event is.
Yeah, let's talk about that. First of all, the Ronda Bailey match was really well done. Again, a match with someone that needed a boost, like Sasha did last night. One of the better Bailey matches in a long, long time. I like the aggressiveness from Bailey in this. Really, yeah. I thought Bailey did a great. I was like, oh right, Bailey's really good at wrestling. I forgot.
Yeah. There were a few points where Ronda looked a little awkward in ring. That's the one thing I'm noticing more and more. Ronda's looking a little awkward. The promo to begin, we didn't even touch on.
Like, that and last week's are just two of the worst promos I've ever seen from any individual. But this one was really bad.
Here's the thing, and you can take a standpoint and sympathize with the wrestler, but ultimately, you have no control over what the crowd's going to do or say. And I just felt like Ronda was upset based on the reaction of the crowd. And that's why we got the really good promo on the other side.
It tells you, too, how good Roman Reigns was. That he dealt with that every night after night. That Roman dealt with the boos and like, whatever, and shrug it off. When she said, oh, you guys got me, you don't say that. You just go.
Yeah, you gave them an inch and they took it for a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when Becky's music hit,
my God,
and then her coming out and the one knee brace, it's like, oh boy, I'm just having flashbacks to my childhood. All she needs is a bald head and some beer, and we're good.
That segment was what WrestleMania is all about. It's those moments that make the WWE what it is. It reminded me a little bit of the great segment they did with Undertaker and Hunter a few years ago. They didn't speak in that one. They didn't need to. But just the face-offs of WrestleMania are the things that matter the most. Those face-offs, Rock and Austin, Hunter, Triple H, Shawn and Undertaker. Those are the things that build and make you care. And we've been wanting this match ever since Survivor Series. And then the stare between those two is like, I'm so ready for this. And then the promos.
Yeah. Becky absolutely killed it. The crowd is behind her. It's just one of those things where you're going, as long as you stay the course and do this right, you are literally printing money with this. And I'll be honest with you, as of right now, two months out of this, I honestly can say Becky needs to win this Mania match. Because Ronda will be fine, but this will help push Becky to that next level. And then as you move forward, Ronda can definitely get her win back at a Mania. And you're going to have a story that is similar to Rock and Austin, having those big marquee matchups at Mania.
I would agree. I also got to note, Ronda cut a promo, and it was like a different person.
She was playing with fire there, like just fire and passion. It wasn't sweet, humble, oh, shucks, I'm happy to be here. This is the one, that the voice and the person you saw in the ring at the end of that segment from Ronda Rousey was the same person that stood tall of UFC. And that's the person that you want. That's the person you need to tap into. It's not the aw shucks one. It is absolutely the person that can go out there and just be passionate, cocky, arrogant. Everything that she did in UFC, but cranked up to 10. And you have to, heading into Mania, she needs to murder a bunch of people. Just murder, squash Brock matches where she's murdering
break arms.
People. And just collecting a belt of arms just to build up to Becky, who could be going into the Mania match a little banged up, and that can build some more intrigue. And I think if Becky stays the course and Ronda stays the course, and I know this podcast will be dated in 24 to 48 hours because Charlotte Flair will be in on it. But for right now,
we're enjoying this, damn it.
The match that's announced is Becky versus Ronda. So as of right now, that's what we're talking about. We'll forget about Flair, and we'll deal with that when that happens. But for now, this easily can close your show out. And I think this will. I am curious, and I was going to ask you if they switch the Rumbles around. Do you think Becky still gets the big pop that she does?
Like it's still at the end of the night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I actually think if they would have done the men's, I think that would have helped out the Brian and AJ match.
Yeah.
Because that crowd wanted to cheer for something, and it would have cheered for AJ and Brian.
Yeah, maybe swapping the Rumbles would have helped. But I think that you would have easily got a good reaction for Becky, and I think that's what the crowd really wanted to sink their teeth into.
Becky's the people that they want. The women's division in WWE is just leaps and bounds ahead of the men's right now. The women all feel like bigger stars, and you've done a better job in this fresh start of rehabbing women. Right now, today, Bayley feels a little bit better than she has in a long time with that match. Sasha feels a little bit better than she has. Natty had a great showing last night. Natty feels somewhat important. And now there's this weird thing with her and Dana. Who knows what's going to come of that? The Riot Squad feels important getting a win like they did. And they had a nice showing in the Rumble. Obviously, Charlotte looks great. Nia looks tremendous. I thought Mandy and Naomi, I loved what they did in the Rumble with the two of them and building off of that feud. The women right now are absolutely killing the main roster right now. There is more women on that show that I care about right now and their storylines than the men's. It's not even close to me. I care about the women way more. And I also will say on that Ronda promo, there's some people like, oh, she flubbed a line. It doesn't matter if she flubbed a line. You still got the point of it. You can mess up a line and still have a good promo. Just because you don't hit every single note doesn't mean it's a good song. She didn't hit every single note. She stumbled on one word, but you got the point of what she was saying because there was passion, there was excitement, and there was a realness to that promo, and that's why it mattered. And again, so on that, and yet again, with all the women stuff, I thought it was really well done. And I'm interested to see, like, normally we have, like, one, two women's matches in the main roster on the WrestleMania. I could see, like, three or four. Who knows? Like, this is going to be a stacked Mania card. This could have 16 matches on it.
I'm going to be in a chair for 8 hours.
You could be in a chair for 10 hours, Joel.
Oh.
Putting in overtime.
Do I get double time?
Maybe. I definitely think there has to be something. And I'm interested to see New Japan, what they're going to do with these two Tokyo Dome shows next year for Wrestle Kingdom. I think there may be something to splitting these shows. And I wonder if you do get to the point that you have the men's show and you have the women's show.
You might have. Oh, I don't want to sit through bloated shows. I really don't.
But like, because like you, the women, you look at what's coming down the turnpike, right? Like we talked about all the women, like the Rhea Ripley's. We didn't even get to mention a Toni Storm. And then you mention all the men that are coming up, the Ricochets, the Blacks, the Ciampa, the Garganos, the Keith Lees, the Matt Riddles. And that's then there's the Kushida still coming, the Trevor Lees, there's Walter, there's Pete Dunne. Like, we don't know where any of these guys are going to end up in the next 5 years. The rosters are only getting bigger. And that means the Manias and the big shows are only getting bigger. So I do think you have to really start thinking of maybe, I don't know, these shows are only going to get bigger and more bloated. Because as we've seen now with with Maria, with Dolph, and with the Revival, releases are not an option.
No, it's we'll try to fix everything. And if you're still not happy, then you can go, which I think is absolutely the right course to take. Yeah. I don't think telling them, oh, you want to release, so sit at home, or no, suck it up. I think trying to work with people is absolutely the right call, because you don't want to keep toxic people in your locker room. And not saying that they're toxic, but just that mentality of I want out can be very negative to be around and can be very, very bad to have in your locker room. Mm-hmm. So, but trying to fix everything and then going from there and then being like, okay, we obviously couldn't fix it the way you'd hoped. We tried to work with you and it's not going. So here you go. Here's your walking papers.
I think it was all very interesting. I really liked it. I thought Raw was a home run tonight. The problem is they have 2 months to go. How Charlotte is added to this, if Charlotte is added to this, we'll have to see. I mean, you a common sense person would say, like, you heard the reaction. You have that stare down tonight. How could you add Charlotte Flair to this now? But we all kind of know that they will. But like you said, we're just going to take this 24 hours and enjoy what could be.
Yeah, and that's all you can do.
But I think the smarter decision personally is doing Charlotte and Asuka and the rematch. They've done a very good job bringing Asuka back to life. Like, she matters. And like you said, you know, I'm not a huge part of Becky tapping out, but I think that elevates Asuka again, and Asuka feels like a dominant champion again.
Yeah.
So I think who knows who she's going to face, and who knows who's going to win these tag titles either, but the women's division is in a very good place. And for the most part, it was three out of the show so far. If anything big happens to SmackDown, we'll obviously be right back here on One Fall to break it all down for you. But so far this week, WWE has stuck the landing for the most part.
Yeah, I'd say they may have taken a bit of a stumble, but for the most part, they've hit the landing.
And then just another quick news here. Chris Jericho.
You never drink and tweet.
So do you have the tweets pulled up right now?
They've been since deleted, but because the magic of internet, and because we live in a world where people will take screenshots of stuff, I absolutely have the tweets. So would you like me to read them?
Yeah, please read them back.
So the first tweet, hey, at WWE, at Ring of Honor, and at Impact Wrestling, I love watching you push all your randoms, but just know that we are interested in maybe 6-8 of your talent total. We don't need you, All Elite Wrestling. Then his other tweet was, imitation and fear goes a long way in our business, guys. Let's be honest. At Brock Lesnar needs to pull up his pants and lose the gut. The dream is over, dude. I don't play by the script. At WWE, at All Elite Wrestling. Don't tweet and drive. Or tweet and drink.
That's what someone said to him. Right? Someone replied that to him, and then he said, I'm not drunk or something.
I don't have that, so I'm not sure. But honestly, at this point, I think you'd have to be a little drunk to send up those tweets. It just seems like a very poor choice.
Yeah, we know he's had problems with Brock in the past, for example.
Yeah.
After the Randy incident. There was something just saying, like, well, you're telling me if Tyler Breeze, for example, was cut by WWE, you guys going to want him? He's like, absolutely not. Which, I don't know Cody Rhodes or the Young Bucks, but I'm pretty sure they would defer on that and say, yeah, we'd love a Tyler Breeze.
Well, there's a reason why Jericho's not in an executive position.
Mm-hmm. Emotional.
Speaking of executive positions, we did get to see BTE and see what the Bucks have been up to.
Yeah, they were at Defy, and that was really cool. But just really quick, we'll get to that. Just as far as the Jericho situation, if the tweets and this keep on going, I wonder, like, now that he's working with Tony Khan, and not, like, even with Japan, he still had kind of the layer of Vince over him and had to watch what he said and stuff, right? Now, I wonder if he looks at Tony Khan as somewhat of a pushover and that he can kind of do what he wants. Obviously, someone talked to him, and that's why those tweets got deleted.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens in these next 3 years for Jericho. Obviously, he's going to be wrestling, and I can't see them ever letting Jericho go. I'm interested to see how this all plays out. Because Jericho, this is Jericho without McMahon around him.
I think the cruise thing really pissed him off. I think it pissed him off more than it's going to be known.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see where this all goes for Jericho, for just everything he kind of wants to do, and for. I don't know. This is one of those things where you see something, you're like, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing Jericho's going to do? Whether it's on Twitter or if it's on just performing. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because this guy is all over the place. And it's going to be interesting to see where Jericho goes next.
Anyways, you were talking about BTE. I thought it was really, you know, it's not really been the BTE that we're used to as much for the most part. It's been a lot different, but it's a nice feel to it. It was really cool to see them go to Defy and interact with those fans and kind of you really feel the heartfelt emotion for them of really missing the indies and really wanting to keep that feeling even though they work at AEW and they're executives and starting this company.
Yeah, you definitely get the feeling that they love professional wrestling. That at its heart, and you see Cody and Hangman propping up at different spots, I guarantee you they're getting paid very little to no money for these appearances, and they're just kind of coming in and doing stuff for the fun of it, which I think is really awesome. And I mean, Kenny found his phone.
He did. So what was it, 9 days, 10 days?
Yep. February 7th, the same day when they had the ticket rally.
Oh, interesting.
Who would imagine that they would have that? And I guess Kenny Omega's not breaching his contract to be in the Royal Rumble, Josh.
I guess not. So Kenny will be there.
What if it's not Kenny? What if it is just someone else and Kenny Omega signs with WWE or signs back with Japan?
That would be interesting. I think he'll probably have a similar contract to Jericho's with the Japan situation. Or at least you're definitely hoping so.
I definitely hope so. I definitely, definitely hope so. But I mean, Kenny Omega will continue to be my white whale to see Wrestle Live.
Yeah. Just a few news and notes really quickly here, and then we're going to get out of here. ROH, you and I got a chance to watch a little bit of the TV last night before the Royal Rumble, and just want to talk about a group that kind of stuck out to you. We got a chance to really see Villain Enterprises, and especially POC, who you really haven't got a chance to see prominently. Both really impressed us, but we also kind of talked about we just haven't really seen or heard as much promotion from ROH as we would have liked to, and seeing that heel group, we're like, this is something I could really get behind, but where's the promotion for it?
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Sinclair opened their wallets and signed certain guys. So it'll be neat to see Rush. It'll be neat to see Dragon Lee. And it'll be neat Phoenix. To see some of these. It'll be neat to see these guys, but you gotta start promoting your guys and your show. That's the only way. Sinclair has a ton of money.
Impact's done a better job.
Yeah, you're more aware of Impact than you are for Ring of Honor.
Well, so I know all about the Scarlett Bordeaux thing. It's whatever it is, I know about what Scarlett Bordeaux is and that she debuts in 2 weeks. Because they have promoted the hell out of that thing. It's everywhere.
And it's smart, too.
Yeah. I may not agree with that kind of angle in today's wrestling, but at the end of the day, that banana thing was all over Wrestling Reddit. It's all over normal YouTube. It's everywhere. They know what they're doing to sell it. They're on a smaller station now, and it's working for them.
And that's all that matters.
Because there's this group of Attitude Era fans that want that, that wanted the Mandy thing, that wanted the Bliss thing, and you can see it from the YouTube numbers, and you can see it from the Scarlett Bordeaux YouTube numbers.
Yeah. See, and that's a thing.
So we'll see what happens with that, and I think it really comes down to promotion, like you were talking about, and we'll see what ROH does, but I really like the look of POC, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of POC.
Yeah, see, that's the thing where I'm really hoping that, as we've learned, Marty's dead, so we're just seeing Ghost Wrestle again.
Yeah.
And MJF has replaced him in Cody's picture.
I'm disappointed he wasn't on BTE today.
I don't think Marty can be on BTE.
No, MJF.
Yeah, that one. I guess he had no one to be a dick to.
Joey Janela, week three. Where are you? Still out of it?
That was all right. He's definitely doing the playoff of Sabu and him almost burning his face off. Janela's out of eyes, so what Hangman couldn't accomplish, Janela has done himself.
I thought this was the best one he's done so far.
Yeah. I'm interested. Like I said, I'm more interested in seeing him wrestling, and I think that'll be when he'll really shine. Famous Dick wrestler Joey Ryan's getting saved by the Bucks, so.
Is he? I thought he was in a lifetime commitment to Lucha Underground.
Oh, he just signs contract and does that. Oh, that poor man, Lucha Underground took such a heel turn.
It did. So we have a few injury updates to talk about. Obviously, so Lana's injury, for those that didn't know, that was completely a work. Lana is fine. But one person that's not fine is Ember Moon. She will not be at WrestleMania this year.
That sucks.
She hurt her shoulder in the Rumble last night, and she needs to get surgery on it, so she will be out for a while. And it started to seem like she started to gain a little, like she was starting to gain some steam by having some good matches and whatnot. She kind of been under the radar. I expected a big performance from her from the Rumble. She did okay. But it's unfortunate because she's super talented, and she could have maybe she could have won the Mania Battle Royal as good as that does. We saw they did nothing for Naomi. I don't know. It's disappointing because I do enjoy Ember Moon.
Yeah. The one thing about the Women's Rumble is there were a lot of times when the women got thrown out that I cringed.
They did not know how to land.
The Candace one particularly made me grimace because I was like, ooh, that had to hurt.
Yeah, Casey Casanos wasn't very good either.
Yeah, there were a few of them. Yeah, Rhea Ripley's one also kind of looked like it was close. And it's like, please don't break anything, please.
But there you go. Again, if anything happens being on SmackDown or anything like that, we will get back to you on that. But I think now that we have the announcement of Ronda and Becky, that was probably the last big set of news for this week. I'm assuming we'll start gearing towards Chamber. We'll get some more of the way the tag titles are going. What was the match that Sasha and Bayley have next week? Who are they? It was Nikki Cross and Alicia Fox.
Just gotta go all in with the
Crazies.
That's an interesting pairing.
Yeah, it's the Crazies.
Yeah, I
guess Kerry and Io Shirai, if they're gonna be anywhere, it would be on SmackDown then, I guess.
Yeah.
No EC3 on this show either, so maybe he's going to SmackDown. I didn't see EC3 in the Rumble now either. I thought for sure we'd see him in the Rumble.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on with EC3. I don't know what's going on with Lars Sullivan, any of the NXT call-ups. It's very bizarre. It seems like right now that Heavy Machinery is the only one that's been on every show so far.
They weren't on this week, were they?
Yeah, they were in the backstage segment when Finn walks out. When he's getting daps from everyone, they were back there.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Any last news and notes from you, Joel?
Last news and notes. Let us see what is happening in the land of professional wrestling. For all we know, there could be massive breaking news. Kushida's facing Tanahashi tonight.
Yep, that should be really... It'll probably be his last before he heads to the NXT.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I think NXT is where he's going to land. And that's a good spot for him to land. Sunday Night Heat's happening, so that should be fun.
Halftime Heat.
Potato, potato. Brian has a black eye. I think that's about it.
Yeah, well, we will see what happens the next few days in professional wrestling. If anything breaks, you know you can trust us right here. By the way, I think the tweet of the night, by the way, had to go to Will Ospreay during the Rumble when he was talking about Ricochet. Did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, I did. He won't make it because of his the background check.
No, he said something like I'll be ridiculously upset and mad but happy at the same time or something like that.
Oh, really? Oh, I missed that, yeah. I guess. I saw that he did say that Ricochet told him to come to NXT and he's like, I won't make the background check. And some of the tweets he has sent, I could probably believe that.
This is the tweet he said. You better not be in the Rumble, Ricochet, because I'll be really happy for you.
Oh, jeez.
To continue with our forever thing is, Ricochet is Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay is Ricochet.
They're one and the same.
Maybe one day when Ricochet wins the Rumble and then wins the title at WrestleMania and the next night on Raw, Will Ospreay will come out and challenge him.
Maybe one day.
That I think that's right now the greatest feud from the independents that we may never get to see again.
Yeah. I think Ospreay's destiny is in Japan.
Yeah, I think so too. Ospreay in WWE would be interesting. In NXT, I think he'd be fine. He's really good on the mic. He's better than Will. Like, he has a complete package that Ricochet is still working on. I will, and this is the last thing we'll get out of here. I really noticed on NXT TakeOver how important the Performance Center is.
Yeah.
Just with Ricochet, seeing him about a year now and watching him in Japan or in a PWG setting and doing the ropes and whatever, you can see the little things that the Performance Center teaches you as far as cameras, as far as a presence among yourself. Ricochet is 100% different, even from where he was at WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans. He just feels like a completely different, polished toy. And that's why some of these guys that are really good wrestlers, like a Ricochet, they go to the Performance Center, is to learn those tricks of the trade before they go to a Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, it definitely makes it all a difference.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at OneFallPod, on Instagram at One_Fall_Pod. Make sure you check out everything on Stick Boy on Facebook. And you can check me at FreshTake42 on Twitter and Instagram, or Jawa31 on Twitter. And make sure you check out our stuff at Fresh Take Network. Until next time, cheers.
The man's coming for ya.
Enjoy the day, people.
And good night, Ben!